Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Bob, Richard, and I would love to hear from you. If you are hearing this program during the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, why, you can speak with us live right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today we're going to meddle a little bit. We're going to get into people's business, and we're going to take the will of God, the subject of the will of God, and really talk about a practical issue, an issue that almost everyone faces, especially in this sexually charged culture in which we live today. And Paul lived in a culture like that. Most of the people that he ministered to lived in a culture like that. And so he was not afraid to talk about sexual immorality and to couch it in terms of who we are in Christ and what the will of God for each and every one of us is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is one of those particular passages. He begins in this passage with these words, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." So Paul is saying, you guys have understood, you're walking by faith, you're expressing the life of Christ in and through you. Keep going. Keep moving down that path. That's the right path. "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So if you want to know the will of God, here is a very explicit verse. It's very clear. Your sanctification. Now, we've talked about this on several other passages, the fact that we've already been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We've already been set apart by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:10 is one of those signature verses, and the writer of Hebrews says, "For by God's will we have been made holy," or we have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So the moment we come to Christ by faith, we're set apart. We're made holy. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. So we've already accomplished the will of God, not by anything that we've done, but by the work of Jesus Christ. He has made us holy. We see this also in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He is writing to them, and he is this is another section in the New Testament where he hits sexual immorality. And he says, you know, "Such were some of you." And he lists out a whole list of things, and sexual immorality is a part of that. But then he says, "But you were washed, you were clean, you were sanctified."
Yes.
"You were justified by the work of Jesus Christ." So anyone who is in Christ has been sanctified. That's a once and done thing. So we can't get any more sanctified than we already are. So because of the work of Christ, we're already in the will of God. Our sanctification has already been accomplished by Jesus. Now that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And without that, what we're going to talk about next would be impossible.
Absolutely. But
this is the foundation.
This is the foundation. So folks, the will of God for you is your sanctification. Jesus Christ carried that out through his death, burial, and resurrection. If you're in Christ, you have been sanctified. You have been made holy. You stand before God without blemish, free from accusation, holy in his sight, not just for a little bit if your behavior lines up with that, but forever. The shed blood of Christ was sufficient for that transaction to be an eternal transaction. So in light of that truth, he's going to talk about sexual immorality. So "for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Now, sexual immorality is a big problem in our culture today. It's a big problem in society at large. It's a big problem within the body of Christ.
Yes.
Sexual immorality is rampant. We live in a culture where we have a casual attitude towards sex. we've lost the sacredness of that very act that God designed. I mean, sex was God's idea.
Yes.
It wasn't something that we invented, but when sin entered the world, we took something that was sacred, something that was holy, something that was an expression of God's very love for us being showed one to another in a very physical, intimate way. We perverted that and made it something other than what God designed it to be. And it falls under that umbrella of sexual immorality, where we take advantage one of another. We marginalize people. We look at each other as objects, not as real human beings. We've taken the dignity away from people and how we've handled or how we've allowed sex, the sexual aspect of our humanness, to become in this culture and society today. So Paul is going to speak to that, and he says that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor. So how are we called to live as believers in Christ? We're to learn how to control our own bodies in holiness and honor. God has purchased these bodies. He has put his spirit inside of us. We have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a sacred vessel. We need to learn how to control it in holiness and honor. In other words, use it for what God set it apart to be used for. These bodies that we have are now the Lord's, and they are to be used by the Lord. So we should make our bodies available to him. That's what it means to know how to use these bodies, how to control these bodies in holiness and yes. honor. And again, Paul speaks to that in 1 Corinthians 6 as well, where he talks about sexual immorality in very detailed terms. Don't you know when you join your body to a harlot, the two of you become one? And he's saying, but you're now one with the Lord. You're one with his spirit. Therefore, use your body accordingly.
Yeah.
So that's what Paul is speaking about here. So know how to control your body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Now, that last phrase is significant.
Yeah.
The Gentile world does not know God. And guess what? You and I did not know God before Christ revealed him to us. We had ideas about God. We understood several of his attributes from what's revealed to us in nature, but we didn't know his real character. We didn't know what he was like. We didn't know what he thought about us, what he felt about us, how he was going to act toward us until Christ came on the scene. But once Christ came on the scene, we begin to understand God for who he really is. So we have a knowledge of God that the world does not have.
Yeah.
That knowledge of God is the very knowledge, the very truth that is going to transform us. Truth that transforms, what is it? The truth about God,
yes.
Knowing what he's really like. Well, the heathen world doesn't know what God is like. So they've perverted something that he brought into existence as sacred and holy and made it an immoral act. Mm-hmm. That's how the heathen look at sex. And that's how the world that we live in looks at sex, but not God. And so we have that knowledge of God. So now we can have a proper perspective of sex because we have a proper perspective of one another.
Yeah.
We can see each other as God sees us. So we have this knowledge of God. We ought to allow that knowledge of God to transform us into holiness and honor so that our acts, what flows out of us in action, matches who we are in person.
Yes.
We are sanctified, set apart. Our actions ought to reflect that truth. That's who we are. We were once caterpillars. We're now butterflies. We ought to fly like butterflies.
Yeah,
no need to crawl on the ground like worms.
Yeah.
So what's the will of God? Our sanctification, that we abstain from sexual immorality. God isn't going to work sexual immorality inside of you. That's not a work of God's Spirit. So he goes on to say, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. If you have been sanctified, set apart, you have God's Spirit in you, walk by the Spirit. Then you will know how to control your body in holiness and honor.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
844-322-2742 if you'd like to join us and pose a question, offer a comment on this parental guidance edition of Basic Gospel, why we encourage you to go ahead and call right now. 844-322-2742. The lines are open. We await your calls right now. Prince, with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you our CD called God's Will for You, as we've been talking about that. And in this message, of course, Bob Christopher explains that the New Covenant actually is God's will, effective at the death of Jesus. And in that will, you're going to find everything you need to live a life of assurance. God's will for you is your gift, our gift to you, actually, this month, to say thanks for your gift. As we continue to broadcast and proclaim the truth of God's Word, we need your help. So if you can go online to basicgospel.net, there's a prominent link right on the homepage there. And as you make your donation this month, you'll get a copy of the CD, God's Will for You. Contrarily, you can call 844-322-2742. You can use that number 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Or again, as I said, online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have some great email questions today we want to get to.
Yeah, we do, as a matter of fact. This is from Bill, who listens to the broadcast on Sirius XM Channel 131, the Family Channel. He says, I have read references which assert that most of the New Testament could not have been written by its reputed authors because they were illiterate fishermen, with the exception of Matthew, Luke, and Paul. This is quite discouraging. Are you able to help me out? He says, I listen to your program every night on Sirius XM.
Well, it's a great question, and we certainly appreciate that he tunes in every night. We're glad that he's allowed us to be a part of his life, and we're certainly grateful that he's a part of ours just through this broadcast. But I think that's a very important question for us, and I think if you just look at it in terms of human possibilities, you would think, how could that be? If these were illiterate fishermen, how could they write such beautiful words? How could they express the very words of God in such eloquent terms and tell the story? Well, it's not just a human question. I mean, God entered into this picture, and Jesus said to his disciples that I am going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring to your remembrance all that I've done, all that I've taught. And so the Holy Spirit was involved with these apostles in writing down these words. There were also scribes, secretaries, so to speak, who would listen to these stories and would write them down. So maybe some of these gospel accounts were written by other folks. You know, so the apostles would dictate and these things would be written down. Paul certainly had folks who did that for him, who took his words, his verbal words, and would write them down, and then he might sign them at the end. See, I've signed my name in such big letters.
Yes.
So that's how this word was transcribed, that was put to pen and paper, so to speak. But we don't have to worry if these folks were the real authors. We know that God sent his Spirit, and his Spirit is what moved these men to write these words. Now, you have some things.
Yeah, I think it's an overreach to set the question up by saying, well, these were just illiterate fishermen.
Right.
Well, one of the things that the Pharisees did, this was a good thing that they did, is they opened up education to everyone. That doesn't mean everyone took advantage of it, but the rabbinical schools, but synagogue had schools, and you could go learn how to read and write in those schools. Again, they may not have taken advantage of it, but it wasn't a condemnation to say, if you're a fisherman, okay, now you're illiterate. That's you can't conflate those two issues.
Right.
And so when you take people who may have had a chance to be educated somewhat, even though not as fully, and you add to it the fact that the Holy Spirit is working inside of them, I think you come up with a very satisfactory answer of how we got the New Testament.
Yes, indeed.
God made sure that we got the message he wanted us to get.
And through the people that he chose,
yes,
to give it to us through. Mm-hmm. So we can count on that God picked the right people.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be limited by human possibilities. And like you said, these were just illiterate fishermen. How exactly do we know that?
No.
You know, that's some assumption. That's some speculation. As you said, these guys seem to have a brain in their head.
Yeah,
they weren't dumb. They were able to think. And so we know that God used them in a very special way. We know that this word that we have before us is indeed the word of God that is authoritative in our lives. We can trust it. We can rely upon it. We can lean into it. And as we do, we're going to see the benefit of that in our day-to-day lives in every single area.
Absolutely. Bill, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. Thanks for posing your question. And friends, you can pose a question as well, just as Bill did. You can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can go and give us a call at 844-322-2742. If you're listening during the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour right now, you can call and speak with us live. We'd love for you to do that. The lines are open again at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you at Basic Gospel. Someone else who dropped us an email was Susie, who has a question concerning a devotional that she really heard, lately heard. She says, you laid out four promises of the new covenant. Could you explain numbers 1 and 3 to make them more clear? Number 1, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Then number 3, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Those two she would like clarification on.
Well, I think that's a wonderful question. And as a program note, we're actually going to discuss this in detail on tomorrow's teaching edition. So we're covering a section in the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide that really answers those questions. What laws did God write on our hearts? What laws did he put in our minds? Were those the Ten Commandments or were those some other laws? And so we're going to discuss that in detail tomorrow. But it gets back to our discussion at the opening of the broadcast that this new covenant life is a spirit-led life.
Yes.
It is not something that is built on human effort. It's not built on our own understanding. It is spirit-led from start to finish. So the Spirit of God has come to live inside of us, and he is writing truth in our hearts and on our minds. And that's what happens to New Covenant believers. And everyone who is a Christian is a New Covenant believer. Everyone who has been born again of the Spirit of God is a New Covenant believer. God's Spirit has come to live inside of you. If God's Spirit does not live in you, you do not belong to Christ. Mm-hmm. Paul put it as plainly as that. If God's Spirit does not live in you, you do not belong to Christ. But if he does, you belong to Christ, and he is writing his laws on your heart and mind. Now, what are those laws? They're not the Ten Commandments.
No.
He didn't take those off of those stones, those tablets of stones, and then inscribe those on our hearts. He put the laws of faith, hope, and love there. So what is God's will for us? God's will for us is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what God's will is for us. Well, God's Spirit puts that inside of us. So when the grace of God comes, we're able to say with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. That's faith. When we respond in faith, that's God's will for us. That's Spirit-driven, Spirit-led, Spirit-inspired. Now that the Spirit lives in us, he is going to continue to teach us how to live by faith in Jesus Christ. That faith is going to be expressed in love one toward another. So God is writing love on our heart. So in our opening discussion, we're talking about sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is not an act of love toward another human being. Right. As a matter of fact, here in this passage, it says when you do that, you're defrauding or taking advantage of another human being. That's not love. That's not what God has written in your hearts. So he's writing something different. He's writing in there that you love, that you dignify, that you see people for who they really are, people whom Christ died for, people whom God loves so much that he sent Jesus on their behalf. So when we're listening to what the Spirit is doing inside of us, then that's what our minds are starting to think about other people. That's the work of the Spirit. And then along with faith and love is this hope that anchors us,
yes,
that gives us certainty, security, assurance in this world in which we live. And it's the very thing that moves our eyes away from the things of the Lord to Christ himself. To move our eyes away from the things of this world,
yes,
and on to Jesus. And all those things of the world, they look pretty good before we knew Jesus. But now, anchored in this hope, they don't look so good. I've got something better in Christ, a much better future. So that's what God is putting in our hearts. So that's the first provision of the new covenant. The third, in which he mentioned, was this, that we will all know the Lord from the least of us to the greatest. Christianity, we herald it as a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So we set it apart in that way. Well, this is the promise that really underscores that. So through this new covenant, through the grace of God, we're now in relationship. We call him Abba Father. Under the old covenant, they had this idea of his fatherhood, but there was no real personal, intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. They didn't draw near to God. They were afraid of God. And anyone under the law, anyone that is lost, has that fear inside of them. But when a person comes to Christ, we've been given the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God diminishes that fear and gives us the confidence and the boldness to cry out, Abba, Father. So we have this personal, intimate relationship with God, and we grow in that relationship.
Yes, and don't think that when it says, for they all shall know me, that's not talking about the whole world.
Right.
It's talking about saved people, children of God.
Right.
As children of God, it's our privilege to go to the world and say, know Jesus, because that's eternal life, to know,
yes,
Jesus and the Father. So what this promise is for children of God, that we know,
yeah,
God. We don't have to,
yeah,
guess.
Those who are in the confines of the new covenant.
Yes.
Okay. So there was the old covenant. That covenant was between God and Israel. There were people outside of it. Now they could enter in.
Yes.
It's the same here. We have this new covenant. We're believers in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So we were born again into the family of God, made heirs, co-heirs with Christ Jesus. So we're in this new covenant. Now, the lost world is outside of it. We invite them in,
yes,
as we share the good news of Jesus. As they come in, then they,
yes,
are given the same knowledge of God that we have. They have a personal relationship, and we can call one another brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So,
absolutely.
I hope that answers the question.
Well, we appreciate hearing from Susie and all of you who write or call to pose a question on Basic Gospel. Keep in mind, friends, that within the new covenant, you're always in the center of God's will. And to help you fully realize and solidify your assurance of that fact, we have Bob Christopher's wonderful CD called God's Will for You, and it's yours when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click the large link on the homepage at basicgospel.net or phone anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, or as I said, online at Basic Gospel. Well, again, program note, tomorrow, our teaching edition. We hope you have your study guide, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and are able to join us. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.